Just give it another minute. If everyone could just mute.
Menachem, you're muted as well.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So tonight I want to dedicate these words, L'uli Nishmas Maren Barabena Rabbi Yehuda Ben Dov, to Tzifonet Tzadeh B'Kaddish L'Bracha. Sunday evening, we were honored to have Rabbi Moshe Weinberger to offer some words in tribute to Rabbi Kelemer. I have a certain netiyah towards Rabbi Weinberger because we were roommates in Yeshiva University. And although he does deliver now many of his talks in somewhat of a sing-song, trust me, as a roommate, he wasn't singing to me when he was when I was making too much noise in the morning. He brought up a very beautiful point, and his idea was based on the question of why is it two things. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have a mum? Why was it difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to speak? And two, why does it say, Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi? Why don't we know? Why is the Torah telling us the statement of who the parents were? He quoted the Maharal, and the Maharal, the Gevuras Hashem, in Perek Tes Vav. He says, Shelo Tomar ki nolet Moshe mitzad Amram v'yochevet shehem b'nei adam pratam. The reason why we can't know, the reason why the Torah doesn't tell us, because they were just born from normal parents. Shedavar ze'eno, it's impossible. Ki lefi ma'ala Moshe madregoso ha'yanivdam mikol adam. Moshe was superhuman. He was so above everyone else. If you're going to say Hakosiv Kimoshe Nolad Me Amram B'Yocheb B'nei Adam Pratiyim, and if you simply look at Moshe Rabbeinu as a child of regular parents, the Hoya Moshe Nivda Mikol Adam Shaharehu Mesiachis Alav, he wouldn't be different. Ulufichah Kosav Vayelach Ish Mebeis Levi. So Rabbi Weinberger, basic idea was to take this and to compare it with something else. The number one, Moshe Rabbeinu was not of this world. He was Mishamayim. He was way above all of humankind. But he compared it to a different idea, which I'll say differently than the way he said it. We say this every week in L'cha Dodi. The Chododi is the understanding of the unification of the Shechina and the Godhead, whatever that means in Divrei Kabbalah. The Shechina represents the mother, represents the mother who never leaves a child, is always with the child, even if they're Rechotim, even if they fall off, they go far away. And the Malka, the Melech, is representing the father, the strict. And his idea in discussing about Rabbi Kelemer, that at one point, where at once Rabbi Kelemer was superhuman, he was above us, he was living in Shemayim, and simultaneously he was one of us. I imagine during the time when he was saying this, Rabbi Kelemer was sitting on the side, and I could almost see him grimace. Just, it was so un-Rabbi Kelemer to even think of himself as a superhuman. It was such an anav. And I wanted to offer perhaps a different mahalach and to understand little bit more about perhaps an idea of Rabbi Kalamer. And I begin with just the opposite idea. Why was it that he had the mum? Why is it that, why wasn't he grown? Why wasn't he born perfect? Why wasn't he a great orator? But Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains, Shahatora b'parshas va'erim mefaretas yichuso shemoshe rabbeinu kidei laharo shanoa be'ofen tva'i. Just the opposite. I want to show you, Rav Hirsch says, the Torah wanted to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was born of natural means. He was one of us. Sha'afilu adam tva'i yochel la'alosa madregos kibos. To show that even someone who coming from any level of life, from any part of life, can become great like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a magnificent story of the Tiferes Yisrael, which I know that Dr. Lyman has a whole article about it, but let's just take the story for what it is. It's an apocryphal, whatever, but it sends home the point. Tiferes Yisrael says that during the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole world heard about Moshe Rabbeinu, Mitzrayim, how Klal Yisrael were able to leave Mitzrayim like they did. She said, I have to see what his secret is. So he called his artist. He said, I want you to go into the camp. I want you to draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu and bring it back to us, and we'll study and we'll figure out what is his secret. And he brings back this thing and he shows it to the various doctors or physicians. And they all start showing different ideas. And Moshe Rabbeinu, there was something wrong with him. He had this mum and that mum, this blemish and that blemish. He had ganav, everything. Everything was wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the king got very upset. He says, it's impossible. How can this be? So finally, the king himself goes over. He says, I have to see this to Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees the picture. And he doesn't understand. How is it possible? And as he's about to leave, he finally has the courage and he goes over to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't understand. This is what I'm seeing. How is this possible? So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to me and says, that's me. That's me. With all of these blemishes. But I perfected myself. I worked on myself. I became something greater than what I was born. Rabbi Kalamer wasn't born a malach. He became a malach. He worked on himself. There is an idea from the Shari Ora, a beautiful idea from a gun, Rabbi Meir Tzvi Bergman. Shahatam shlo hiskira hatorah gadlusam shlo amram. The reason why we don't mention the childhood of and the growing up in the house of Amram Yocheved Behedya Bekesher and Leidaso Shemosh. Lahashmeinu shekedei lo ledus legadlo kemben kemoshen. In order for all of us to understand, to create, to give birth to someone like Moshe Rabbeinu and Sarach Yichus Shalav Aim. You don't have to come from a famous family. You don't have to come from the Soloveitchik family. Remember the Rav of Soloveitchik used to say this, is it really Bechiras Nafesh? Is it really? Some people are born in the house of the Soloveitchiks. Some are born in my house. Some are born in this house. I remember I once had a lunch at the Rabbi Lamb's house and Chaim Soloveitchik. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik was there for lunch. And Rabbi Lamb turned to Chaim Soloveitchik and he said, tell me, what is your first memory of your father growing up? Rabbi Chaim turned to him and he says, first memory was my father yelling at my oldest sister when she was 10 years old, calling her a peasant because she didn't know pshat in the rush. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not my memory of my first memory of my father, of not knowing pshat in the rush when I was 10 years old. I didn't know pshat in the rush when I was 10 years old. So Reb Bergman is saying, Shegedolei Tori Yecholim Latzei Safilim Mimakom Shafo V'Namach. Any environment. The ain lanu lit osalach shov shemahanhige Yisrael yivo rak mitocha mishpachos and yichasos from yochel shabi Yisrael. Don't fool yourself to think that you can only come from a certain type of family. All of us have the ability to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says this explicitly. Shehikdish is called kochasov vechoshov leavodas Hashem. That's how we succeeded. There is a Sichas Musa from Rabbi Kellner's Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. And he explains this part. He says, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, he had 10 names. There's a beautiful Maamar Chazal. Why was he called Moshe? A victory could it be called? Why only Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rabbi Chaim explains as follows. Amru Chazal. Adam Harishon is an amazing Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Adam Harishon Misofa Olam Viat Sofa Hoya. He was physically great. He was from one side of the world to the other side of the world. Adam Harishon in Aris Al Riki, and he went from the ground up into the sky. Kivin Shasorach Hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yadolav Umito. As soon as he sinned, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him small. So Reb Chaim explains, "V'nira de'ein hakavana kipshuta." This snapshot. It wasn't that Adam Harishon was like this. Shorochvo v'govo hayom misofa olam, that he's his tallness and his going from side to side at sofos mina arish v'adokia. Ela kavana he the kochasa v'hasagasa. It showed his singular purpose of what he wanted to accomplish in life. But Adam Harishon failed. Kol ha'olam kulo misof ha'olam v'yatsof min aris v'alarekiyah. He had the ability to do that, but he did not accept it. Ulam yesh l'dah she'adayin rav ma'od hu kocho shel Adam gam gaya. Everyone has to feel about them. I remember one of the first stories I heard from Rabbi Kellner about his seeing Reb Chaim the first time. I can't say it over in Yiddish. He walked into Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, introduced himself. And at that point in time, Reb Chaim already had a stroke. He was very weak. And he looked at Rabbi Kellner and he said, I'm already a broken lulav. I'm broken. But what you should do is in your youth, chaparai. Remember that word, chaparai. And that was Rabbi Kellner. We don't realize His modest, the masminim that he was. You'd go to shul, and you'd see him sitting in his car across the street, with a sefer, looking at it every free moment. Imagine how he was as a child. I had a client. I always try to remember this. I had a client who was Rabbi Kellner's chavrusa in Telz, and when I first moved into Samson, I started telling him, I said, my client also, by the way, was a tremendous guy, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I remember telling him about Rabbi Kellner at that point. I just couldn't believe it. And he turned to me and he said, you know, I don't remember Rabbi Kellner being so unique in Tells. I didn't take that as an insult. I thought that, wow, he wasn't unique. He was a regular person, but he worked on himself. He worked in hasmana, he worked in learning constantly. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is saying that you have the ability to overtake any of your mischaracters. But what does it mean that Bas Parah, her arm is elongated in order to save Moshe Rabbeinu? So he says, no, shenishtarva yoda abata batya basparo amos harbe. No, he saw the fact that she tried to accomplish this. De'ena kavana shenis archi yad. It's not the fact that mamish, but she put all of her kochos into it. And that's why she succeeded. And that is the idea also of Yaakov Avinu, when he says, when he was able to move the Evan. And finally, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, the loves of Moshe because of the show that what the Moshe, that fact that he was working so hard for himself in order to accomplish something. It was interesting that Rabbi Kellner always walked to shul. I don't know if you noticed this. He always went down Johnson's Lane. He went the wrong way, the long way. Why did he go the long way? Why would a person go around the other way? It would be closer to shul. I once asked him. He said, well, once I was going there, I was attacked by a dog. Once? Once you were attacked by a dog? But that was his personality. In a sense, he was stubborn. That's how you become a tzaddik. That's how you've been great. I don't give in to my yetzer hara ever. I don't make exceptions. If this is what I have to do, yomam v'layla, constantly. In fact, the Reb Chaim goes on and says, "Al yomer adam ketzer agiya legadlus v'amkus haTorah." Says, "Don't say, how am I going to be? How am I ever going to be like a Rabbi Kiva Eger?" Says, "You can become like a Rabbi Kiva Eger. You could have the kochos to become a Rabbi Kiva Eger. All you have to do is to steigen and to continue with this." So that was the first point I wanted to say about Rabbi Kelemer. There was an individual who perfected himself over his years, over his lifetime. Second point was how careful Rabbi Kelemer was with his words, when he spoke to us. Always very careful, measuring, and he knew if he ever said something that perhaps would be insulting to someone, he caught himself immediately. There's an amazing idea from the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma in the Pasuk, in Parag Vav, Pasuk Yid Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'yal Aaron, vayitzaveim al b'nei Yisrael v'yal Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Lahotzi is b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Many ask in this, and we'll see a beautiful pshat from the Kedushas Levi, but right now with the Meshel Chachma, that God spoke to Moshe v'Yaron, and he's vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael v'el paro. Why would he have to command b'nei Yisrael and also paro? Paro, the shalchem. Comes to Meshel Chachma. It's an amazing statement. Amazing statement. Yitokeng. Kigam oz b'mitzrayim ha'gedoli ha'uma asha ha'yisorim nechbadim v'efratim. Even in Mitzrayim, there was the upper enchilants. There were Jews who were still of the upper enchilants who what? V'heim ha'yu mishabdim z'b'nei yishol avadim. Not only were they not slaves, they enslaved others. Shemachru ha'mitzrim lehem. The Egyptians sold it to them. And perhaps, who are we referring to? The three Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Shehen Higu, Shrara, B'Mitzrayim, Kimo She'isim, B'Medrash. They were in charge. As the Medrash says, Levi, Shlohoyu, B'Shib, B'Mitzrayim. Lochain, and therefore at the end, Lo Natal, Nachla, B'Aretz. And Reuven also, he didn't get in Eretz Yisrael, it was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Shimon's Nachla was surrounded without getting to water. Why was this? Why was this my idea? Comes the Meshech Chachma. He says, it's Bishvil Dalit Varim Nigalu Shaloshine Shaman Ulashonam Bahamit Suyonam. They were separate, they were distinct, they didn't change their names. Vechziku atzmam legerim, and they always conducted themselves as gerim, as separated from everyone else. Vibnei shahoyu mitzapim l'shuvas Hashem. They were looking for the salvation of God. Why? Because Yaakov beirach osam ish mibirchas b'chalukos aretz. Yaakov, and 2 weeks ago in Parshas Vayechi, he gave a bracha to all of the shvatim, except for three. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Kemo she'amar v'yikatzu el tzidon, aval shlosha shvatim, Yaakov rochkan, he separated, he went further back from ilu hayu mishvatim kechol acheyim. If they were enslaved like all of their brothers, hayu misarvim b'mitzrayim v'hayu medabim she'ein lam chelik v'nachla b'kerem Yisrael. Meshech Chachma is explaining as follows. Yaakov Avinu was wrong. Each brother was thinking, each generation, Avraham had two children. He had a child of Yitzchak, and Yishmael. And Yitzchak had Yaakov, and he had Esav. It was not either, everyone was going to continue on in the line of the Yavos. And comes these three, Reuven, Shimon, Halevi, who were cursed by Yaakov, who was not given the bracha. They said, we're going to be like that. We have no future. We're not part of the past. We're not part of Yaakov. We're not part of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bechvodah, Be'atzmo said it's impossible. It's impossible to allow them to be Meshabe, to go into slavery, because they'll give up all hope. They'll give up all hope. And they give up all hope, then there's no future. This is the last Meshech Chachma that I spoke with Rabbi Kalamer. Remember the place, the Zaptazman, the time. He knew that I love Meshech Chachma. And we used to, over the last 20 or 30 years, whenever we would learn together, we would always bring up different ideas, and Meshech Chachma always came into our conversation. And we were talking about this Meshech Chachma, but how careful someone has to be when it's from a parent to a child, a rabbi to his community. Bein Adam la'Adam. The Kavod HaBrius that Rabbi Kalamer had, how careful he was to speak with every individual. I told the story that was written, but they, in this NCA, the National Council, I always have to say it, and I just was amazed to see how the world, everyone knew who Rabbi Kalamer was. We had gone to Halavaya. I was sitting in the back, because you remember his cars. No car ever worked properly. So I had to sit in the back seat. And the windshield, this was the car where the windshield wipers never stopped. Remember, he turned to me, he asked me, you know why these, do you know what the story is with these windshield wipers? And I wouldn't give him the simcha. I said, no, I don't want to know. That's crazy. Go get. Anyhow, we're coming back. And I remember, by the way, when we were at the funeral, I was at the airport, and I was moving too close to the Avelim. And all I remember is I feel Rabbi Kalamer's hand grabbing onto my arm, hurting even a little bit, bringing me back. Now is not a time for words. Now is not a time for us to be part of the family. This is their moment. And on the way home, so I kept on telling him, we're running out of gas. Let's stop by and let's get some gas. The rabbi comes and said, no, it's okay. Don't worry. We're going to go. Sure enough, we ran out of gas. We're on the Bell Parkway. We pull over to the side. And he's about to turn around, I guess, to apologize. Because I'm looking at him like, gas is, we're running gas. Just so much the Kodesh Baruch Hu can do for us. Give me gas. So go get gas. He didn't get gas. So he's about to apologize. Next thing I know, a woman knocks on the window. He looks, he opens up. She says, Rabbi, how are you? You need a lift. Yeah. Okay. So she gets behind us and she pushes the car, gets us into the gas station. Sure enough. Yes, that tenant comes in. Rabbi Kalamer, it's so good to see you again. I wasn't the first one. That same gas station, there were so many stories of how he dealt with individuals. Heard one story. He was at this gas station and he saw someone who was very, very sad. Read the story. What do? When you see someone is sad, maybe you go over, listen, everything okay? Can I do anything for you? Rabbi Kalamer, of course, went over and spoke to him and found out that he had lost his son. What do you think he did? He sat down with this individual for an hour, 2 hours, wasn't Jewish, just sat down with him and explained to him. He gave him words of comfort. He understood the lessons of the Meshech Chachma, how important it is the way you speak to someone, how it is to take care of the Kavod HaBrius. When I first moved into this neighborhood, we used to sleep in the homeless shelter by the church in Hempstead. Tuesday nights was our night. We had two shifts. One shift would go at 7 o'clock and feed, and then the second shift would come at 10, 11 o'clock, and we would sleep all night. After the first few times, the homeless, I used to snore terribly. The homeless finally asked me, maybe it's better if you don't come next time. You can't get sleep here. We'll go sleep outside. What a lesson. Do you hear anyone else? Tell me if you hear of another Rav, another Rebbe, another rabbi who goes out into the world and says that his people should go into a homeless shelter to take care of people like who are homeless. Tell me. There's another point I want to bring out. And this has been brought out by everyone. But again, I want to bring from the Maimer of his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and something that Rabbi Kelmer himself wrote. I think this really explains much of who he was. So Reb Chaim writes as follows. Umayata kivish nisbar shafidu doma mekama koach nifla hayde misiris nefesh. Even as someone who is asleep, he receives a tremendous koach through misiris nefesh. Al achas kama vekama sha'odam shekidluhu b'misiris nefesh. Imagine someone who lived his whole life in misiris nefesh, what he could. Zeu mashom rechazal. This is beautiful. Esther Shemus Hoyle Moshe Rabbeinu. There were 10 names that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. Chayecho Mikol Shemesh and Nikvar. All of the names that you were given. Eini Korei Ella B'Shem Shekoreschah Batia Basparo. I am only going to call you Moshe because it's the name that Batia gave you. Vatikru Shema Moshe. Uvamokam acha amru mikan atalomet scharan shagomli chasadim. And from here you learn the unbelievable schar when you do chesed for someone. Shemikol shema shahoyulo, from all the names that he has, lo nikba bo shem bechol atorah, el kamosh garosa bacha basparo. The name went by what bacha had to say, his that name. In a kol shem b'shem shenikra b'moshe rabbeinu b'olavati letzaris ma'aloso legadloso shemoshe. Each name had a purpose. Each name spoke of a characteristic within Moshe. Each name helped him develop that character. Yered shahoridis atorah mil ma'alo lamata. Yered, he's the one who brought Matan Torah to us. The ra'acha shahorid es hashchina. He's the one who brought the Shechina down to our Sinai, to the Mikdash. Avigdor, Avim, Shagodrim, Chavar, Shechiber, Yisrael, Avim, Shebashmayim. Chavar, why? Because he brought unity, he brought closeness between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. Ach, Re'ezeb, Pela, Shemo Moshe. Shinik, Rebachot, but yet, only Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Hein, hein, atvarim. Listen to this. It's unbelievable. Mikorach mesiras nefasha shabatya basparo. She had tremendous mesiras nefesh. What did she do? Shemrasa es piyaviyo vehetzilas Moshe al afkizeras paro. And when I read this, I remember the movie Ten Commandments. I mean, why am I bringing that up? Many, many years, I was really zocher to learn with Rabbi Kelmer, b'chavrusa. We used to learn late at night. And one time, I don't know how we got into the discussion. we're talking about Midrashim, and I brought up, you know, Cecil B. DeMille is very mocked on the Midrashim. If you go back to that movie of the Ten Commandments, we're talking about, and Rabbi Kelman turned to me, he said, I can't remember his name right now. The guy who played Dussel. He says, you know, I used to like watching him as a gangster in the movies, you know, when I was a kid. Umikolach gemilas achesed jigamlo imo begavo osa bekrabu mesiras kibo Moshe Rabbeinu. Because of her mesiras nefesh, Moshe Rabbeinu was makaba within him otoch nafsho ubesoro as hakochos halomo. It became part of him. V'yayodam nis'ala v'chukshel hiyos golon u'moshiyan shel Yisrael. When you experience something, it stays with you. You have a certain natiya. You have a greater understanding of what the other person is going through. Ki behikrava ubemesiras nefesh nihil esatzon yisro betchila. That's why he took care of the tzon. He took care of the animals. Uva hakrava mesiras nefesh oshia charkachas Yisrael. Bein beobdav levnei paro ben balisal marom. Whatever he did, he had a certain rachamim, a certain compassion. For Klal Yisrael, v'chol Abram Shana Shahoyi Bamidbar, His whole life was dedicated to taking care of Klal Yisrael. It became ingrained with him. It was natural in him. So we all know of the great rachamim, the passion, the compassion that the Rabbi Kellerman had for every one of us. He danced at our simchas. Seemed that he was happy at our simchas as we were. And he was as sad for us during those moments of mourning. I want to read to you his hakdama to the Tznif Melucha. It's a sefer Rabbi Kellerman wrote back in 1970. And just one line, just one little paragraph I read, but it's really one line that he says that I think so much describes the essence of Rabbi Kellerman. Darchei Mechabrim. You know, you see Hakdama, something very beautiful to do whenever you pick up a sefer. To read the Hakdama, to read the preface, to see, they usually explain so much about, first you'll hear beautiful Torah, but you also see insights into their personality. Darchei Mechabrim la'ates Ephraim b'divrei Hakdama aruchim. Since, you know, most people when they write a sefer, they have a very long Hakdama. Perchei Hagadata umudanim mishvachim amatilam matova sefer. You know, flowery language. However, he writes, I can't do that. I can't do that now. Materis achibru hu, I am writing this sefer. Lanetziach es nishmas biti. To help, to give a forever lasting to the neshama of my daughter, Etel. Zechrona lebracha. Sha'omdim anu al kibris haranan. We are still standing at the kever. And listen to this words. Uche atufei avel adayin lonita mikshosenu lebitui nachon. And with this avelus, this terrible tragedy which is lying on our hearts, we are not given the ability, feelings, lebitui nachon, to have the proper, the right outlook in life. What an amazing statement. And then he goes on, the rest of the page is dedicated to his parents and to his father and to his in-laws. But this line was dedicated to show you who he was, the tragedy he went through. And he spoke of his own tragedy that I'm lost right now. I know I will have a proper outlook, but right now I'm lost. And he's admitting that to the rest of the world. And when you go through this, and I truly believe Rabbi Kellerman had the potential, and within him, there's no question that if he didn't have this tragedy, he already was of a certain character, that he was always going to be there for other people. But I think this helped to find him. I think this helped show him that we were able to receive the benefit, that he understood where we were coming from. He understood the lost child. How many times did he spend on Shabbos HaGadol? You know, you go into other shuls. We'll get back to this, but you go into other shuls and you hear these lofty, grandiose speeches. And you'll hear tremendous Torah. And you'll come out and going back and playing back and forth. Or Rabbi Kiva Eger is arguing with the Pnei Yeshua, and he'll bring down, the Ktsos and Avni Malu, and back, and by the time we'll get in, and he said, wow, I can't believe all that Torah I heard. And Rabbi Kellerman, more than once, over and over and over, he spoke about the child who's not in shul. He spoke about the fifth child, like Lubavitcher Rebbe. He spoke about the children, the adults, and the families and the parents who were still waiting on the outside of the shul to be called in. Everyone was in his scope. Everyone was in his heart. Those who were learning next to him, those who were davening next to him, and those who couldn't. So another beautiful pshat. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu, another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu at the end, Hivdil Gimel Arei Miklat Lifnei Mosa. Why did he create the three towns, you know, the places where the Rodef would have to run away, where someone who killed Bishoge. Sha'oeg mitzvah yishba mitzvah, why bir oda inyan? What was the reason? Because Moshe li tenafshu, because he remembered he had to do this now. Why? Because he remembered the days that he had to run away from Paro. And I have to create a place, a safe place for others. It's not enough. It's not enough for someone to only have compassion because he lived through it. There has to be another level, a beautiful pasuk. When it comes to tzedakah, Makalda Madrid, not only do you have to have that you could appreciate it, but even if you can appreciate it, the need for someone else, you have to help them. Nirada Makalda Madrid Zuhu Besefa Devarim. That is ring, keep us soft, tiftach as yodech, as yodcha. Va'ave tavi tenodai daim mechusora sheyachsalo. When you give tzedakah, you have to give them what they are missing. What does that mean? Peirush Rashi. Peirush Rashi, because the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvas, afilu sus l'rechov alo ve'ever l'rutz l'fanav. He's used to driving a Cadillac or a Lincoln. You have to give him the Cadillac and the Lincoln. Ubi or Adrasha Kazim Beferish Leket Bahir? Mitakavar Oma Michasura Vachazim Omar Shayyah. What does it mean? He always missing. And what he's missing more? To teach you that even if he's only missing something on his level, you don't appreciate it. You have to find a way for him to be made whole. The purpose of Avelis. I remember I came to this community. I remember this the first time he said this. See, Moshe Orenbach is on, and when I came to this community, so we stayed by Moshe and Cali for Shabbos. So we daven Friday night in Anshei Fuchs. Okay. Next day he took me to the, I think, I don't remember what time it was. It was the 9:20 minyan. Okay. And then Beryl Eckstein picked me up, and he took me to hear Rabbi Grossberg share. And I remember sitting there and listening to it, and I said, wow, I'd like to do this one day. It's very nice. And then between Mincha and Maariv, I met Rabbi Kalmer. And he was giving an open forum on Hilchos Avelos. I remember the questions. I remember one person when he asked the question, and he was talking because, you know, whenever we go to Avelis, to a Beis Avel, so often you hear people joking and telling stories and laughing. And the person, Olav Shalom, had said, isn't this wrong, Rabbi Kalmer? Why do we do this? And Rabbi Kalmer stopped for a second. He looked around. And he turned and he said, oh, of course not. Of course we should have. But he says, you understand. People are nervous when they come into a Beis Avel. They realize their own mortality. You understand that. But then he went on to explain, what are we supposed to accomplish in the Beis Avel? I remember the first time I gave a Yizkor speech, Shem Yom Kippur. This is goes back at least 24, 25 years. And my wife came over to me. She said, what do you know about giving a Yizkor speech? Can you feel the pain that someone has when they haven't lost a parent? The answer is no. When you lose a parent, you're in a very different madriga. Rabbi Kalmer understood the purpose of a Beis Avel is not simply to say Hamakom Yinachem Eschem Etol Shav Leitzim Yishlayim. The purpose is for them to feel better when you leave, to have a feeling that there's going to be a future. That I will speak about at the end. The last point I wanted to talk about is the idea of leadership. Who was Rabbi Kellerman? And Rabbi Weinberger basically said this in a way about the ice cream. And I just saw someone sent me a tweet from Rabbi Leibowitz quoting Rabbi Weinberger, which is very true. If someone hears it's a child tonsillitis, so you know, you tell the child, you know, oh, it's very, you know, when you go home, tell your parents to buy you ice cream. Rabbi Kellerman did it, he bought the ice cream. Rabbi Kellerman always had candy on him. When the children came to shul, to give it to them. Comes the Kedusha Salevi. The Bat Echeva says as follows, based on our pasuk, where the Meshech Chachma had a different understanding of what does it mean by Yitzaveim of B'nai Yisrael? Ach kosha shalom matzina b'tosti chosav shal Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, but tell me something. Again, the pasuk said, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'yalarum v'yitzaveim el bnei Yisrael." So the Kedusha Slavi has a simple question: tell me, where did he tell bnei Yisrael to do this? Vayitzaveim, where? Hevir es ha'hodah hazos of bnei Yisrael behedya. Where did he tell him? Ve'ech kiyem es chavozo ledaber masarim. And when did he speak to these generals or to these officers? She yishachru zachayim in ha'avdus. Kedusha Halevi says as follows: Moshe Rabbeinu lo oded osam ayidei dibur. And maybe this is another answer of why Moshe Rabbeinu had covered path. Why was it so difficult for him to speak? Ella al yidei hisnalisu ha'ishas. Yeshnei minei tzadikim. There are two types of tzadikim. Hamalchichim esa'am leilech b'darchi Hashem. Who get people to follow the Derech Hashem. Yesh tzadik Hashem b'dibura osa roshem lachmi aleiv osa rishul hatoso lachzor b'tshuva. There are great orators. In fact, Rabbi Weinberger, who was here, yes, you go online, go into YU Torah. He has thousands and thousands of shiurim. You go into YU Torah, you see so many rabbanim who have literally hundreds of thousands, and just everything they've ever said is out there. You listen to them, you have such response from all of them. Rakshu murchach lahavi rayos v'tamim l'tvarov shezehu derech ha'yishara. But when you give a great musa shmuz, you have to bring a lot of rayos. Got to bring a pasuk, a maim chazal, v'lezeh hutzarech liyels ba'al lashon, and you have to know how to keep everyone's attention. Sheyucha lahasbir es dato l'shomim k'day sheyichnasu devarav l'toch dibam. You have to keep their intention so that your words will press the hearts. Avol yeshod. There's another type of tzaddik. Shemashbiya alachirim. Lo b'divuro, not in what he says. Ela b'derech hanhagasa, what he does. Shekishachayim ro'im es hadugma ha'ishat shalo, when they see him, how he acts. He memela notim l'chakoto sol l'mhog b'atzmam. They thought, I want to be like that. I want to be like him. V'kivan shemoshe Rabbeinu hetriach etz atzmo kol kach b'shvil b'nei Yisrael. He was matriach himself. V'yelech Moshe on the last day of his life. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He went from shevet to shevet. He didn't say, come here. You know, it's my last day. I got things to do. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Everyone come to me. He went from shevet to shevet to give kavod to every individual. Tell me, am I not describing Rabbi Kellerman? Is there anything he can't do? I'm sitting in shul the other day. A young man comes over to me, and I always get up. I give him, you know, Shabbos over here. And this way he turns to me and says, what? Rabbi, don't get up for me. You know, you're making me feel guilty. Making you feel guilty. I'm mekayem exactly what Rabbi Kellerman taught me. You go over to Rabbi Kellerman. Anyone walked over to Rabbi Kellerman, he stood for you. There's no such thing as him sitting. You should bend down to talk to Rabbi Kalman. I remember once I was talking to Chaim Leib in the back row in the old Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Kalman comes running back and he sees this and he bends over to Chaim Leib and I can hear him. Chaim, you never sit when someone's speaking to you. Stand. That was Rabbi Kalman. I'm one davening Marv in the back also. I sat in the back, you know, like the schmooze with the guys. It was there was someone screaming outside. Child. Next thing I know, Rabbi Kalman's running out. But as a chavrusa, as a Talmud, as a someone who sat by his feet for many, many years, Rabbi Kalman always told me, this is the way you have to act. And as he's running out, he stops for a second. No, actually, I'm sorry. He went out, he found out what it was, and he comes back, and I'm still davening Marv. And he holds me by the shoulder to make sure I don't get up for him. And he says, Menachem, when you hear a child cry, even during Marv, even while you're davening, you stop, you go out and find out what it is. Through Hanhaga, as a mushel. There are those Rabbanim who teach us what to do through their speeches. And there are those who teach us through their actions. It's the story of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says, when I was a child, I wanted, you know, when I became a Rav, I wanted to change the world. Then he realized it's difficult to change the world. He says, all right, I'm going to change my city. It became very difficult. Couldn't change the city. I'm going to change my shul. I'm going to change my community. Very difficult. So Chofetz Chaim says, I'm going to change myself. Maybe people will follow me. I once heard it said about West Hempstead. Rabbi Kalman said this. I won't say the name of the community. He said, the difference between our community and this community where he came from. Says, in that community, when I give a shiur about tzedakah, they'll ask me 100 shilas. But Tosfos says this in Zvachim, and the Rush says this, and the Rif, and the Ram, and the Rambam. This is West Hempstead, when I gave a shiur about tzedakah, they would come over to me afterwards, and they would say, so where do I write the check? Because that was our Rebbe. That was our Rav. That was our Mahik. So let me end with this. I feel like the words in Nishmas, so much more that has to be said, even like all of the ink of the Yams of the Yam. No one could say all of the Shevach that is needed to say by Rabbi Kalman, except for Rabbi Kalman. And even he had problems. And I remember once, should have said this in the beginning, why I think so much he wouldn't have enjoyed the words of to call him superhuman. Once somebody from my shir on Sunday morning sent me a card once. Kavod, Rav, Agan, it goes through 3 or 4 different lines. They're really just unbelievable, tremendous accolades. So I remember I had the card. I went over to Rabbi Kalman. I said, I have to show you this. Oh. He looked at it. He laughed and he said, now you know how I feel. Now you know how I feel when people speak about this. And quite often, I remember sitting next to Rabbi Lamb. Such a funny story. It was on Sukkos, Cholamayim Sukkos, and Rabbi Kalman comes into the and then the 8 o'clock minyan. And he, of course, speaks about Rabbi Lamb. And after he leaves, Rabbi Lamb turns to me and says, I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed. I just read Koheles, and I just heard my own eulogy. He was almost go over the top. I remember times he would introduce me to people, I would just think, I would tell him, you know, Rabbi, you're over in Issa Hanifa. I don't know who you're referring to. And one day, I guess he felt he wanted to give the message over to me. I said, Rabbi Kalman, I don't know who you're talking about when you introduced me like that. And he said, Menachem, maybe not. But maybe if you thought of yourself in that way, you would act that way. What a Musa. A year later, many of us, we still feel the loss. And for most of us, I think we feel lost. Open up certain sperm. For so many years, Rabbi Kalmer and I would either meet and learn together, or he would write emails to me. More often than not, sometimes he would just send over, you know, those like a little home, pad that had you used to take, write down your homework assignments when we were in elementary school. Rabbi Kalmer held on to that. And every once in a while, I find these notes and different svarim that I have in the house, which is always wonderful to bring back warm memories. The last Friday night, before Rabbi Kalman took ill, there was a knock on the door. Henry Ginsberg dropped off a little note. It was in a bank envelope. Little scribbles. Dear Menachem, just a thought before Halakas Neiros. And he asked me a question. What do you think of the Pshat? Why do you think the Ravid and Orly Yom Yadalit, why do you use one pasuk and not the other pasuk? Where's this Ravid? I don't know. He didn't tell me. I had to know where the Ravid was. He did that to me quite often. I don't know if he thought that I would know offhand, or he was always pushing me to know this offhand. The comments that I always got from him, they weren't written, you know, statements. That he almost wrote to me like the Vilna Gaon, just prompt him, here's an idea. You figure out what I really mean, and then we'll talk about it. I never got to speak to Rabbi Kalmer to answer the question of what my thoughts were. I had my thoughts, but it doesn't matter. But today I thought about it again. And the note said, Or Yom Yidavid. The light. How do you search for chametz? You use a candle. You use a light. There are times when I'm learning a sefer, I wish I could call him up and say, I'm reading the sefer, I have this idea, what do you think about it? I'm learning Rishalmi. He would always tell me, oh, when you get to this daf, call me, I have a chiddush I want to tell you on this. Unfortunately, I didn't do enough of Rishalmi to hear all of his chiddushim on it. And I feel this loss. I feel like there's no one to call at any moment for any question you have. Any question. Who do I call? Who can you get on the phone? Who would give me the time of day? And there's so many questions that are happening in my life that you're looking and you want to have a few moments to sit in his presence to feel better about what to do, the derech of life. And I think Rabbi Kalmer was giving me an answer. Or Yom Yadalid, I've given you, I've lit the candle for you. I've shown you the light. We learn Mishnayos at a base Avel because Mishnayos is written that the person is saying, Rabbi Akiva Omer. He's saying it now. The Neshama is still with us. His Torah is still with us. And I find myself with that whenever I'm thinking, if I'm asked a shayla, or I'm looking for advice to myself or for others of how to conduct myself in a certain situation, my question to myself always is, what would Rabbi Kalmer think? I've had the privilege of learning at his feet for 30 years. 30 years. And this community had the kavod and the schus to have him as the Rav for 40 years. He's taught us a tremendous amount of Torah. You may not be able to go to a shelf and take out volumes of his Torah, but you can remember the stories and you can remember what he taught us. Not by words, not by dibur, but by action. Of how he taught us to have kavod habrius, to avas Yisrael. He truly believed in the words of the Nesiv HaShalom. Nesiv HaShalom and Moshe Rabbeinu, first time he meets the Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'hasneh einenu ukal. The bush is burning, but the sneh, the bush, is not destroyed, is not consumed. And the Nesiv HaShalom explained in Solar of Soloveitchik and others that if the bush represents the neshama of the Jew, the neshama of the Jew whose desires are coming close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a flame that surrounds the neshama that prevents him for whatever reason. And the job of the Rebbe is to understand that every Yid, every Jew has a neshama, and you have to help that neshama grow. And that's what Rabbi Kelmer was. From day one, he came over to me and says, I want you to give a shiur in Young Ish and West Hempstead. I give shiur today because of Rabbi Kelmer. He was the one, if I gave one shiur, okay, it's time to give another shiur. And make sure you do it on Shabbos, do it on Sunday, doing it constantly, giving me more, pushing me and pushing me. He saw something in my neshama, and he sees something in every single neshama. And his job is the shamash. He was like the shamash in the Hanukkah menorah. He stood above us. I will light the way. Arli on Yadalad. I will light the candles. I will give you the abilities. I will give you the torch. All you have to do is find within yourself to want to accomplish it. Both say so much to remember. But I think this was Rabbi Kelmer. I don't want to think of him as a superhuman. He was one of us. He was a giant who walked amongst us. He was born into a family. His father was a cantor. He wasn't born into a family of Gedolei Hadar. He married into a family of Gedolei Hadar. But he himself did not come from that. He simply worked hard. He had tremendous singular purpose, a singular mind of what to accomplish. He had tremendous compassion for others. Compassion because of the life he led. He was a leader not only in words. He was a leader in action. He loved all of us. He took care of us. He worried about us. And he was always there for us. That's the Torah of Rabbi Kelmer. That's the Torah we should follow. That's a Torah that we should keep in our hearts every single day. And in that way, the neshama of Rabbi Kelmer, the teachings of Rabbi Kelmer, the yitzumos of Rabbi Kelmer, is still with us. Yomam v'layla. Tiye nishmas atzuru b'toch achayim. We should all only know of simchas. Good night. Thank you.